Well, thanks to Chloe and Anna for reading to us today from James chapter 5. We've reached the final study in our series of studies in James with the title Living Faith in Difficult Times. And today we're looking at chapter 5 from verse 7 right to the end of the chapter and indeed the end of the book. Now, I'm sure a few months ago, many of us would not have known what the letters PPE stood for. And over these past few weeks in lockdown, we've been increasingly aware of the importance of personal protective equipment, PPE, to many of our frontline workers. And of course, to some extent, we are all being encouraged to wear some form of PPE. So it could be masks or it could be gloves. And for someone in the medical profession, the PPE would involve all of these things and perhaps an apron and a visor. I know for some in the Bellevue Church family, this is what you wear every day at work at the moment. And others working in other essential roles also have to protect themselves with masks and gloves and extra hygiene measures. People in other jobs also wear some form of PPE. So, for example, if you were working on a building site, then your PPE would look a little bit different. You would have boots, you might have a crash helmet, you might be wearing ear protectors and goggles, and often you would have a high-vis bright jacket on so that people could see where you were. So we've got used to seeing this sign recently, caution, PPE required. Now, did you know that this isn't new? James had the same message almost 2,000 years ago when he wrote his letter to the various Jewish Christians scattered across the Roman Empire. He said to them, caution, PPE required. And for them, it wasn't personal protective equipment. For them, it was patient, prayerful endurance. PPE, patient, prayerful endurance. And over the final few verses in this letter, we'll look at what James has to say to his readers then, and indeed his readers today, about patient, prayerful endurance. Now, another word for endurance is perseverance or steadfastness, or in simple terms, don't give up, keep on going. So patient endurance, I guess the first thing we can think about in these verses. This, of course, is not the first time that James has touched on this theme in his letter. If you remember right back at the start of the letter in chapter 1 and verse 2, he says there, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. So for James, he saw that the process of patient endurance helps lead us through a process to maturity for the Christian. And through the experiences of life, God teaches us and our dependence upon him grows. Now, patience, of course, is relevant when we're waiting for something to happen. I don't know if you, like me or like my family, I should perhaps say more accurately, have been doing online shopping recently. Maybe you've ordered something, and for the boys and girls, it could be a new book or a new toy or something you've been looking forward to. And it tells you when you order it that the expected delivery day will be 3 days ahead. So we look out our window, don't we? We check every DPD or delivery van going past, wondering if it will stop at our house. We get impatient waiting for it to arrive. Day three inevitably passes and we get more and more impatient. We go back to the emails to see what has happened. Of course, we notice the small print saying, due to current circumstances, delivery might be later than usual or something like that. So we get impatient, don't we, waiting for this to happen. And then eventually, we see a van stopping outside our house and the delivery person comes to the door and delivers what we've been waiting for. And when we open the parcel, we quickly forget about the delays. We are just pleased that it's arrived. But where did our impatience get us? Did it speed up the delivery? Of course it didn't. Even for online shopping, patient endurance is a good option. But for the Christian, what are we waiting for? Well, in these verses, from verses 7 to 12 of chapter 5, four times it talks about something in the future. Verses 7 to 8, it talks about the coming Lord. Verse 9, it talks about the coming Judge. 10 and 11, it talks about the coming end, what the Lord finally brought about. And verse 12, it talks about the coming judgment. So there's an expectant future event for the Christian. It's the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Not this time to a stable in Bethlehem, but this time as one who will judge the world. And for Christians, this gives hope for the future, something to look forward to, something that even in the current circumstances gives us something, gives us hope for the future. For people who are not Christians, what does Jesus coming again mean to you? And perhaps it's something you might dismiss or doubt or not even think about at all. Maybe it doesn't even register on the radar. Well, the question for you this morning is, where is your hope found? What are you looking forward to? Where do you find hope in your life? Now, James goes on in his chapter 5 to give us three examples of people who patiently endured. And firstly, the farmer. Look at verse 7 with me in chapter 5. It says there, "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains." Now, there's no doubt that a farmer needs patience. When the farmer sows the seeds in the field, he can do very little to determine the outcome. Of course, he'll prepare the ground as well as he possibly can, and the conditions will be as good as they can be made. But he can do nothing about the frost or the rain or the storms or even the amount of sunshine that comes along. He has to patiently endure throughout this period. And of course, no crop appears overnight. He has to just wait. But why does he wait many weeks for his seed to produce fruit? Why does he patiently endure? Well, it's because the harvest is worth waiting for, because the crop is precious. And in verse 7, it describes there the crop as valuable. And in many ways, of course, we are spiritual farmers. Our hearts are the soil and the seed is the word of God. And as we go through the different circumstances of life, including the trials and the troubles, the storms and the frost, if you like, we should patiently endure, yielding to God and allowing his word in our lives to bear fruit. And yielding to God and allowing his word to bear fruit. Patiently enduring rather than impatient surrender or withdrawal. So that was the first example, the example of the farmer. And the second example is found in verse 10. Now look down at the verse again with me. It says here, chapter 5, verse 10, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." The prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So the prophets from the Old Testament are given as another example of people who have patient endurance. Many of them, of course, were obedient to God, yet still they suffered hardship and suffering. And of course, we must never think that in the Christian life, obedience automatically produces ease and pleasure. These Old Testament prophets are a good example of why that is the case. Now, we could think about Daniel, who lived in exile in Babylon. If he had not suffered deportation, we would probably have never heard of Daniel yet. In these difficult circumstances, Daniel patiently endured. And in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9, it says there, "So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes." He still trusted in God. He still prayed to God in his difficult times. And we know how God protected Daniel, including, of course, his experience in the den of lions. We could think about Moses too, who spent 40 days on the mountain receiving the law, followed by 40 years in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And the book of Numbers tells us all about these 40 years of endurance. Now, what about the less known prophet called Habakkuk, and perhaps you've never heard of Habakkuk. He's got a book in the Old Testament named after him. You can try and find it if you want. Three chapters. And his book starts with this verse. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Not quite what you'd expect one of God's prophets to be praying, but as we go through his book, we see his attitude transformed from trouble to trusting, from questioning to quiet rest. He was trying to work out a solution to the problem of wickedness in Judah. God wasn't doing what Habakkuk thought he should be doing, and was getting rather impatient with it all. He said to God, "You do not listen." But God was to reveal to Habakkuk a plan that he had not contemplated, and he learned to patiently endure while God fulfilled the plan. And at the end of his book, in chapter 3 of Habakkuk, he says this, verse 17, "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Well, maybe we feel a little bit like Habakkuk today in lockdown. Maybe we feel that God is not listening to our prayers. Maybe we feel that our prayers go no further than the ceilings in our rooms. What might a prayer for us in the same style of Habakkuk be today? What might it sound like? Well, maybe it sounds like this. Though the schools are closed and we can't visit our families, though we can't get out to see our friends and all the shops are closed, though our summer holidays are cancelled and we have to work from home, yet, now I wonder what your yet would be. Would it be the same as how Habakkuk concludes his prayer? "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." So we have the farmer, we have the prophets as examples of people who patiently endured. And then we have one third and final example that James gives us. And the third example is Job, the man called Job from the Old Testament. Look down at verse 11 with me. "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And David Knowles talked a little bit about this last Sunday in the service. It would be difficult to find a greater example of suffering than the example of Job. There's a 42-chapter book in the Old Testament all about it, and it's pretty grim reading. Job lost his wealth and his health. He lost his children. His wife was against him. His friends were against him. And it seemed that in many ways, God was against him as well. And when Job cried out for answers to his questions, there was no reply from heaven. But he didn't give up. And in Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job there says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. I will hope in God." Now, Job suffered greatly, even though he was a righteous man. Yet through his suffering, he met God in a new and deeper way. And in the end, Job received a greater blessing from God. So James gives us three examples to encourage us to patiently endure: the example of the farmer, the example of the prophets, and the example of Job. And he finishes this first set of verses with a topic he's covered several times already in the letter, the topic of the tongue, what we say. And we skipped over in verse 9 the simple instruction, don't grumble against each other. Don't grumble. Now, you can use that verse as much as you want at home these days, but that's what James teaches us. Don't grumble against each other. And then in verse 12, he gives more advice on how we should use our tongue. Our speech should be free from bad language and certainly free from any light use of the name of God. There is no place for irreverence in our speech. So in verses 7 to 12, James has taught us about patient endurance. We're going to take a short break whilst we sing a song together, and then we'll come back for a look at the final verses on this topic of prayer.